Well, here we are, Wednesday, May 21st, and I've got some time. Let's do a couple of short sermon situations here, and let's get this thing rolling. I'm going to set this thing. I'm actually going to try something here. I should have done this before we started, but I'm going to, where's my clock here? I'm going to put this on a stopwatch. I'm going to watch the time as we go. Not that it's that important, but it is for burning CDs and videos and recording this stuff and what do they call it? Converting it to different, to WMPs or WMVs or whatever this stuff is. So let's get going here. I have been looking here lately. Again, still, we're looking at the brethren thing. These are verses that Paul was mentioning to the brethren. And I've just been looking at this. It's like a source of just fantastic material. Of course, it would be his Bible, but still, beside that, it's just some fantastic. He's talking to the brethren, which would be us. Now, we know that he also has had some time with the Jews, that's sort of his brethren as well. But as we get into this thing, we quickly realize that he's gone off to the Gentiles. If the Jews want to listen to him, they can, but they're not going to get it. He talks about that. And I was just ready to do some what I was going to call wow verses, verses that stand out by themselves. Then I got to realize, well, these are like secondary wow verses. The wow verses, you know, would be Colossians 2, 11 through 16, or Romans chapter 7, that little half of that chapter, Romans chapter 6, the first 14 verses, and then the last half of that chapter. Those are wow verses. You get into following Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, that's a wow verse. And these weren't that wow, but these are verses I think we tend to kind of skip over in our quick reading. So, Chip, I would think by now that if you stuck with me for many years at all, you will not be quick reading at all anymore. You are a slow reader, and you were probably a studier more than a reader, unless you're fortunate enough to have the time and the peace around the home to just sit and read. But like in my case, when I sit down and just go to read, I see sermons on every little verse. Oh boy, that'd be like a great subject. So then I start looking for those flipping around pages and find the verses that deal with the same subject. So it's really hard for me just to sit back and read. You know, even the Old Testament stuff, well, here's something I like to tell. That's fantastic verse. Who can I tell that to? So that's the thing that's frustrating. And I know you go through this. You run across this stuff, and because we trust this to be the Word of God, and we trust this to these words, each and every word in punctuation, jot and tittle, et cetera, is the way God wants it to us for today, to us today, and we realize the other stuff was to other people during their days, and there's a section that's going to be for people during the tribulation and during their days. So this Bible covers the whole gamut, and we just want to show that to people. We just have the confidence and the security and the assurance. We're not talking about what we believe to be. We're talking about what this says. And some of the conclusions that come from that. And you want to help people. You want people to see it. And if nothing else, you're just excited about something. You want them to get it. You know, some of these, you know, people get a brand new truck. $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 truck. And they got to drive it over to different people's homes. Here, look at this truck. It's a fantastic truck. Or they go home shopping. They look for all these homes. And finally, one day, they get a home they love. And they want to have an open house. So people come over and see their home. Although in a couple of years, usually you want to get into a different home. Because suddenly this home that God gave you, quote unquote, you don't like it anymore. So you want God to give you a bigger and a better one. With more outlets and the rooms in different places. And, you know, the whole spiel. Easter, you get new clothes and you want to wear these new clothes because you enjoy being in new clothes. Now, lots of times because you want people to see you in your new clothes. You lose weight and you suddenly become not as modest anymore because you're just fat. And now that you've lost weight, you want people to see you. And so you want to show that to people. Well, this Bible is exciting. It's just exciting. And I just mentioned to somebody just now on a text, he's not going to like it, I'm sure. So the reason you don't want to take, you know, you want to carry on a sincere discussion with me, my dear brother, is because I don't believe you can. You don't know your Bible enough, and that's all I want to talk about. And if we're going to talk about subjects, we got to start with the King James Bible. Because if you got a different Bible than I have, the discussion is pointless because we're going to two different sources, you know. You want to talk about a yellow chickadee, or do you want to talk about a robin? If we're going to talk about birds, we've got to pick a specific bird we're going to talk about. I'm thinking birds because they're chirping behind me. So I'm looking at these wild verses. I look at these other verses. Now, there's other verses that we tend to skip because we're in such a... We just kind of tend to skip them a little bit or whatever. And so, well, that's not going to do any good. My phone blacks out after 2 minutes, so big deal having a stopwatch going. And so these are what I would call take note verses. These are some things to just take note. This is a fantastic verse all by itself there. It will lead you to some other studies. Well, so this morning I've got time to talk about this stuff. And I sit down and I hit this one verse. I'm going to start with this one verse. And then I realized, well, we got to talk about this word. We got to look at some other verses I'm thinking of that I know go along with this verse. And before I know it, I've got a sermon just on one word again. That's kind of me. I'm a, what do you call it, word study kind of a guy. Always have been for years. And when I finally compared the words of the risen Savior through Paul to the words of the earthly Jesus to the apostles, I recognized differences. And they're not contradictions. They're just words that were spoken to two different groups of people. That's really all it is. I don't understand. Well, yes, I do. People just don't see the simplicity of the thing. And to talk about what we believe in this is all about the goodness of God. People cannot fathom the goodness of God. He is so good during this dispensation of grace that he just took care of the law, Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, and will not impute any of that stuff to us. He imputed it to himself and took care of it, took it to hell, took that blood of God and took it back to him. And anything he imputes to us is his righteousness. So if we do what he asks us to do through Paul, that would be his righteousness, that we are fighting our righteousness and our sin that's inside us. And if we manage to have a little success in our life based on his pleasing, then he will reward us at the judgment seat of Christ. If not, he will burn it up in the judgment seat of Christ. But it's not going to be us that burns. So instead of us getting all caught up in the do's and the don'ts and everything, which is important eventually, we need to understand the basic foundation of all this Paul stuff, as I call it. And then you quit worrying about so much stuff. If you want to please God, dig up in the Timothy and Titus, especially those books, and see if you can't make some changes in your life, you know. Be careful going through Corinthians, because remember, that was all before the book came out, and it's a different kind of a situation with many of those different things than in Corinthians. And I have a series on Corinthians on the website. Look it up. I forgot what year it was. Maybe I should do a new one. I don't know. But regardless of that, that's my long, what would you call that, preface for today's sermon? Well, they have prefaces on audio things. But introduction is this. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Okay? There go the pages. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I'm really trusting the fact that the video audio is all working on this thing as I scan the microphone, I scan the camera, I don't have a little arrow that bumps to tell me if it's working or not. So maybe what I ought to do is bring my little digital, put it back in my, remember those days I had my digital in my pocket, and then I would have a backup just in case Mark's not there to back these up anymore. We're looking at Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. A couple different directions in this verse right here, but that's what got me started. And I'm not going to go down the fact that restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. We're not very good at that, you know. We've got some sins that we believe that people do out there, and if they do them, we are pretty unforgiving. How could he do such a thing? And he's married, and there's that, and how could he do that? You know, we're very good at not being restoring other people. If they want to be. If they don't want to be, that's their choice. We get pretty uptight about that stuff, but there's no need to, because he reminds us, listen, don't forget, consider yourself, thyself here. You can fall into the same trap. It can happen to you. Yes, it can. I guarantee it can. And the sin that is in us is just as rotten to the core as it was before we met the risen Savior. Before we got caught up in religion. Before we followed the earthly Jesus teachings. You know, before we listened to our pastor and obeyed everything that he did, almost everything, not quite, but most of the stuff we did. You know, it can happen to you. You can be in the same situation. And he says, lest thou also be tempted. So it's a tempted thing. Now I notice that my camera's not running smooth all of a sudden, so I figured that there might be a computer issue here. We'll see how it goes. Boy, I wish I knew what that digital was. As I scan this disorganized room, I don't see it anywhere. I think I left it at school because I want to still be ready to digital record any conversation with some grumpy students or parents. So I really don't have, I'm just hoping we're getting this thing. Okay. So I look at this word, ye which are spiritual. See, there's the key. If any man be overtaken in a fault, right off the bat, in other words, if any man sinned, that isn't what Paul says. He says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Have you been overtaken in a fault? Sure you have. Have I? Sure I have. Oh, there goes my pastoral ranking. We are. We Romans chapter 7, so was Paul. Okay, so if somebody is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. There's the claim. My question is, are you spiritual? Well, as soon as I read that, I thought, okay, I've got to talk about this. I've got to quit looking at the screen here because it's messing with me here. Ye which are spiritual. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. It's Corinthians, that's okay, 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, see, before the Bible, there were prophets, okay? There had to be people that God would work through and in part would teach them stuff. And they would in turn take it to other people. It was all in part, okay? Or spiritual. Ah. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So if a person is spiritual, it's not because he knows his religious teachings. He might be educated. He might be worldly wise. He might be religiously wise. But is he spiritual? He might be churchy wise. He might not be. He might be self-wise. He might be self-proclaimed with his documents, his graduation stuff. That makes them think that they're the spiritual ones because the people think that pastor is spiritual because he's been to college, he knows his Greek, he knows his Hebrew, he knows what God really meant when he said some of this stuff here, you know. And he's all these different Bibles, that makes him spiritual. No, what makes a person spiritual is to acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, and that's Paul, are the commandments of the Lord. Not like the Ten Commandments, not like the Law Commandments, but the fact that this is what God told Paul to write and to say. And if you believe that, and you look to Paul as your one apostle, and you look to your King James Bible, different sermon time, and rightly divide that thing, then you can be spiritual. If you stick to the book and you stay with it, rightly divide that thing, it doesn't mean that you're doing everything right. Doesn't mean that you're not being overtaken in some faults here and there. Doesn't mean that you might be doing something really, really bad in terms of religion and stuff. But you can still be spiritual by getting into that book. Okay, so with that said, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, we'll come back to this, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and here's what Paul wants for his listeners and his followers, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, do you want to have a spiritual understanding? Then you need to stick to Paul and the risen Savior. Or should I say the risen Savior and Paul? King James Bible, rightly divided. The books that Paul wrote, not the individual verses, picked and choosed, or picked and choosed, to see which ones fit the trib, which ones fit today, which ones fit the past. I mean, that's right. No, that's wrongly dividing. That's private interpreting, which doesn't take place, really, the concern, until tribulation. That's what that book is for us found that thing in. Okay. Where that stuff about spiritual or private interpretation, that's in tribulational applications. Okay. So, you want to be spiritual, you follow the teachings of Paul. If you are spiritual, you restore people in the spirit of meekness, because it can happen to you. And what you want is you want a spiritual understanding. So let's look at this spiritual thing for a couple of minutes here. Let me put my phone so I can see it again here. We'll see how we're doing. Okay, typical long introduction preface, or pre-intro, whatever you call it. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you. Paul just longs to see us. This Bible, Paul, the risen Savior, he wants to talk to us. He wants to get to us. He'll get to us through this Bible today. And there's a desire for us to be seen. There's a desire from this Bible, actually, to get into our lives. He says, I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, we won't get into the spiritual gifts other than to say the ones in Corinthians were before the Bible, the ones in Romans chapter 12 were after the Bible. And if you want that spiritual understanding today, you need to get it after the Bible, King James Bible. You all heard me say that. If I have to explain that, please call me and I'll try to explain it to people. But you know, if you've been here with me long enough, that that's what we're talking about here. So Paul wants to get us into it, gives us a spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12 is where those things are located. Don't go to the speaking in tongues, because 1 Corinthians 13:10, the speaking in tongues is shut down when the King James Bible comes along. So it can't be referring to the early part of before the Bible. But before the Bible came along, yes, that made you spiritual because you were given stuff through Paul, from God to Paul, to these people who Paul's teachers, Paul's followers went out and told other people. And yes, that would make people spiritual. And they had, God would give that. He would impart to them a knowledge, you know. But today, King James Bible only. Our spiritual gifts will come from like being in this book. Do you even know what your spiritual gift is? Get into Romans chapter 12. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, that's the bottom line. Are you spiritual? Yeah, life and peace. Well, I know a lot of Catholics that have life and peace on the outside. They've got successful farms. They've got big families. They take care of each other. They have to take time out for the hangovers in the mornings. But I've seen the confidence that people have as a Catholic. Where do they get this confidence from? Well, the fact that they probably believe that they have not missed a confessional. They have not missed a wafer. They have not missed tipping a little blood. They have not missed what they can do to make things right for themselves. Talk about an arrogant, conceited religion. But they're getting stronger. They've got numbers. Everybody believes nowadays that the more you have proves the more right you are. Which Paul says just the opposite of Timothy. Sorry, folks, but that's what he does. But they've got this life and peace about them. Yeah, but when they put their head on their pillow at night, unless they've convinced themselves, which a lot of them have, they've convinced themselves that the day they die, they'll just get up there and they'll just say to God at the gates of St. Peter, well, you know, here I am. Yeah, I messed up, but I confess that. But I confess that. And if that were to be the case, there's no doubt that God would have to say, oops, here's one you missed, so you're out. Oh, I forgot about that one. I'm sorry, Lord, I confess. Too late. They don't get the reality of a life of confession. And that's one of my things I want to talk about in the next couple days or whatever, is this thing about confession. But another day. So We, on the other hand, believe this Bible to be the Word of God. Do we think that it's been tweaked by man? No, because all the Bibles that have been tweaked by man are NIV, ASV, da-da-da-da, and we believe that God is true to His promise in Psalm 12, 6, and 7, which is the only Bible that says that, by the way. And to rightly divide this thing makes all of a sudden the whole thing just comes together and it totally makes sense. We don't like all the stuff we get. We still have to learn some understanding. Lots of things we have to forget before we can go forward with understanding rightly divided truth from Paul, through from Jesus Christ through Paul. So, but we can have a peace that Paul says is passeth all understanding. It's just a peace. Yeah, I've heard, you know, I said since I wrote this last sermon about my personal afflictions that I share with other people, and I get emails back that some people have just lost their jobs, their health is a lot worse than mine, their finances are a lot worse than mine, and I've always realized that, I know that. I hope you didn't think that I thought otherwise in that particular sermon. But I do believe that Paul says, you know, the people out there need to know that you're going through stuff as a Paul guy, as a pastor type guy. So it encourages them to hang in there. As the same reason you write to me and say, well, you have these difficulties, to keep me going too, because you're not the only one, brother. That's fine. But we still can have a peace about ourselves as the bills aren't paid, our health gets worse. The government goes faster down the tube. Education is just atrocious what's going on in the sneakiness of the world of education. The job market is horrible. Families are destroyed. You don't have kids that so many of us don't have families with us in this thing, you know, but yet we have to have a peace. But that peace comes from the fact that I know, according to this book, that Christ imputes to me His righteousness, not mine. And the stuff that's in me, which is still there, He separated my soul from that physical, and I'm still clean. No matter what I do. No matter what I think or do about divorce, remarriage. No matter what I think about finances. No matter what I think about the perversionness out there and the politically incorrectness and, you know, all this stuff that we just got bombarded with. We still can have a peace because we know where it's headed. We understand. We might be disappointed, might be disgusted with obvious stupidity in the media, might be just irritated at the media's sneakiness, but we know what the Bible says about evil communications. We know where this country is headed. Romans chapter 6, not Romans. We know all this stuff. We understand that stuff. What is that? That's being spiritually minded because we're looking to Paul, and we have it's life and peace. Now, that was a challenge for me in the MRI tube, which you all know about. But still, when I was in there, I kept thinking, well, this too shall pass. And boom, 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 well, it's going to pass, but it better hurry up and pass. You know, we all got our issues and challenges, but there's a life and peace if you're spiritually minded. And again, spiritually minded is to know that what Paul wrote in this book right here, that's what God wanted him to say. Paul's our apostle. That's my faith and trust. And the faith I have in Jesus Christ, the word is wary? Wary? Does it fluctuate? I realize I've got the faith of Jesus Christ, which is King James Bible, the only one you'll ever find that says that. But I got His faith. But my faith, it doesn't waver. Is that what I said? Wary. The word is waver. It doesn't waver. I'm not going to doubt any of that stuff. I just get frustrated with the difficulty of it, and I give in, and I weaken, and like Paul says, you know, I get overtaken in a fault, small one, big one, whatever. You know, you're still being overtaken. You still choose to follow that thing. Arguments, anger, whatever, you know. Shouldn't be that way, but I'm not going to poo-poo it, but it's not imputed. Poo-poo, not imputed. There we go. Okay, so now let's just go on here. So spiritually minded is life and peace, a real one. Nobody understands it either. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Now this is that fantastic chapter that I now realize turns Christians into conceited, arrogant know-it-alls Because according to chapter 2, starting with verse 9, that this explains this spiritual understanding that you have. Let's just go to verse 14, for example, here. But the natural man receiveth, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Okay, that's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we got these modern Christians that think the Holy Ghost is teaching them something without the Bible. Because they know by now that there's no single Bible. And people are old enough now that most people, till they've been around long enough for the King James issue not even being brought up, that they don't even know that there was a time when there was only one Bible in America. So that's not important to them anymore. They're a Christian. They've trusted Christ. They've born again. They've been to the right music concert, and they've committed their lives to Jesus. And because of that, the Holy Ghost will now teach them things. Because they have this spirituality available to them. See, the only way that you can discount this thing is to say, well, this is before the Bible. And people had that ability, in part, before the King James Bible came along. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Okay, so, with that in mind, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, if spirituality comes out of a King James Bible now, I'm not changing this word. That word spiritual is the word spiritual. I had a Baptist pastor one time, he said, comparing scripture with scripture. And understand what he was meaning now. He was meaning you want to get something spiritual, compare spiritual with spiritual, you got to go to your Bible, rather than divide this thing, which he wasn't doing, and compare scripture with scripture, because that's where spirituality comes. That part he had correct. But the way he did the verse for years, because I never checked it out, probably never told me where it was at, it just makes sense to compare scripture with scripture, and that's what you do. That's what you do. The Holy Ghost will teach us through scripture. I'm okay with that, and that's exactly what he's trying to tell me. But the way he went about it, he correctly put the word scripture instead of spiritual, and he never explained rightly dividing and da-da-da-da. So he was amiss in his approach. So we believe, we have no doubt now that if we want to be taught by the Holy Ghost, we must be reading our Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10, plus a bunch of other verses. So if you're going to apply this chapter 2 here, you've got to apply it through a King James Bible, not that God's just going to give it to you while you're sleeping. I think that makes sense to those of you that have stuck with me. Look at verse 14. But the natural man, which is the people out there, no problem, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. That's true. Because, see, they don't understand the stuff from this King James. They don't still get it. They don't get it. Because they are spiritually discerned. They don't get spiritual discernment out of a King James Bible like you do. I'm not trying to be arrogant or conceited here, but that's where spirituality comes from. Isn't that what Paul says? If you think you're spiritual, then acknowledge the things that Paul writes are the commandments of God. And we're looking to that. So we get it from our Bible. The natural man doesn't get it. So that verse is explainable. That verse is important to us. There is the natural man, and we are spiritual, not because of our brain knowledge, but because we look to the King James Bible for a teaching from God himself, the risen Savior himself, through the Spirit of God who is in us, not upon us. Then he says in the next verse, but he that is spiritual, see, that's us, judgeth all things. So we're supposed to do that. So these people that are, spiritually away from this stuff, they're not into it. They don't get the spirituality of it all. They might have the knowledge, but they don't have the spirituality of the truth of it all. We who are spiritual, we are to judge all things. We are. And this world who says, you're judging me. Well, not really me, but the scriptures are. Well, God has told me that this music is okay. Okay, but I can show you in the scriptures where that music is not pleasing to God. Well, it doesn't matter to me. God told me. Well, see, there's our problem. You're not spiritual. You're deceived. You're duped. You're a false brethren is what you are. And you're making a judgment call? Yeah, I am, because the scriptures make that call. So yeah, we are to judge all things. That's, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, say what you want about me. I know in my flesh dwelleth no. I know that. I don't have a problem with that. And I realize that what I just did, I shouldn't have done. It caused someone else to stumble. I have the liberty to do it, but I shouldn't have done it. And we understand all that stuff. So, you know, hey, my soul's cut away from me. What you're seeing is my body. So yeah, don't, you know, judge of no man. Whatever. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, how are we doing? Make this as short as I can without cheating at any here. Okay, well that's about right. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, here's what I would call like the Paul's Beatitude, you know. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so many people think that they're living a good enough life, they pray enough, they confess enough, they witness enough, they, you know, they're good people, the whole thing, so then God blesses them with a car, with a job, with friends, whatever, or money. Oh, God has so blessed me with such a great family, or such a great house, or such a great such and such. You hang in there, you watch, and you see how much of God's blessing sticks around. It's not from God. He has given us spiritual blessings. And then we read on and we learn more about those spiritual blessings. That's what's important. That's what people don't realize. But then I don't think most people even want a spiritual blessing. They want the physical blessing because we're spoiled Americans. I'm guilty as well. Okay, so that's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 here. Let me look at that just for a second here. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Yeah, then he gets into predestined, which people get that all mixed up, you know. And then he gets into redemption and it's just fantastic blessings that we've received from God. What he's done to my body, what he's done to my soul, what he's done separating me, what he's done with himself so he can give me those spiritual blessings and spiritual understanding that passeth all spiritual peace, all that stuff. That's what we get from the risen Savior. Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Speaking to yourselves. Oh, music in here. Yeah, let's talk about music here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, which is very important. Underline the word melody, because it's not emphasizing the rhythm. It's not emphasizing even the gorgeous harmonies that people come up with. It's the melody that pleases God in your heart to the Lord. That's not even a public performance. It's in your heart. And what do we talk about here? Psalms, okay, and hymns, sure, and spiritual songs. So what would a spiritual song? Well, a song is something that is sung. It's not an instrumental arrangement of Amazing Grace or whatever. It's a spiritual song, so it must follow the characteristics of being spiritual. It must emphasize and teach what Paul has talked about, because Paul's words are the words of Christ. The word of Christ, as it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. See, that would make it spiritual. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Takes out any public performance. Not that you can't do a public performance, but don't think you're supposed to witness to people and win, quote unquote, win people to the Lord through your music performance or through your concert or through your rock music, or showing people that you can still have fun with music and still be a Christian. In fact, you can even get to know Jesus through your music. No, you don't. That's not the point. That's not the purpose. It's the word of Christ that's dwelling in you. That's the word of Christ that should be in your spiritual songs. and hymns, and even the Psalms. You can put the Psalms to music if you so desire. Although it goes against all the harmonic, when people do it, it pretty much goes against all the harmonic and the melodic and the structures of a clean music that pleases God. People usually sing Psalms to rhythm, get that guitar banging away and get the rhythm going, and I can't remember some of the Psalms. So that's a pretty dangerous one. Hymns. You go through our hymns, you know, there's fantastic hymns, but some of the hymns that we all just love to hear, love to sing, has got some false doctrine in there. Have you ever noticed that? Well, there's a lot of things in there, which I got a whole sermon study on what I call stolen verses from our hymns that the modern people have changed. But now you won't even sing true doctrine in some of our hymns and spiritual songs. If it just has to do with Jesus somehow, it's considered a spiritual song nowadays. They can even sing romantic songs about how much I love you and he loves me, and they say they're talking about Christ, but Christ doesn't operate the way that humanistic love song is sung. So a spiritual song just doesn't mean it's about God. It means it's about what Paul teaches, about the risen Savior. And it can be about his death and burial, but it's not going to be as uplifting as such, and you don't want to glorify that whole thing. You know, we're supposed to be living beyond the cross. So be careful with your so-called spiritual music. If your spiritual music keeps you from reading your Bible, that's not what God wants. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We don't get our comfort and our guidance and our understanding and our spirituality from music. We don't get our peace. Music will calm us physically and mentally, because of the harm, it'll do that sort of stuff. But we've got the Spirit of God in us. That's where we're supposed to get that stuff from. Music is just kind of a sight. Matter of fact, music is being used of the devil today so much, in my observation as a music teacher for so many years, that's quite a deceptive thing you got going on there. So if you listen to music more than you study your Bible, you got a problem there. Okay. So that should take care of it. That's your ye which are spiritual, is because you look to Paul as he wrote things that are from God. And there's your spirituality. And then there are the verses I put on the notes there of what we're talking about here. Check them out. And I hope that you are considered spiritual. Not that you're this marvelous, wonderful, perfect walking Christian with the right length of hair and the right skirts and the ties and that whole bunch of blessed. That's religion. Godliness. Religion. See, godliness, religionliness. That's what that is. That's not godliness. So, for a person to follow Paul's manner of life, which would make them, you know, godly, everybody has to reverse everything they've been doing over these years and to get back to the original roles. That's a whole different sermon there as well. But if you're spiritual, you would seek that out, because you'll see it in your Bible and you'll trust it, because it's from the risen Savior through Paul to us. Rightly Divided King James Bible. There you go.